Roses are sometimes pink. Bluebells are definitely blue. You are God's blessed people, and He loves you. And maybe that's all you remember. In a moment, we're going to read from 2 Corinthians. But I couldn't help but thinking today about the Roman legions about to move out. And those legions would dress themselves and prepare themselves for every eventuality. The tents would be folded up and the wagons would be filled. And then before them a herald would stand and shout to that vast number, "Are you ready?" And as one, they would respond, "We are ready." And again, his voice would be raised, "Are you ready?" "We are ready." And a third time he would shout that cry to all that number, "Are you ready?" And they would respond, "We are ready." And the trumpet would blow and they would move. Are you ready? Jesus is coming again. The Lord from above, the Savior of our souls, the great Redeemer of men, the wondrous, wondrous Lord and Savior of us who are believers today. Are we ready to go? You say, "Oh, thank God I'm ready." Saved by His grace, reached by His power, blessed by His Spirit as He continues to minister to us. I'm ready. I remember the first time I could say that. I was 15 and a half years old. I remember putting the milk bottle up. Oh, you'll not even know what this is all about. But I remember putting the milk bottle up with this little ticket in it in the little bin that you used at the back door for the milkman to come in and put a nice fresh bottle of milk in it. And I remember the thought that came into my mind. Jesus may come tonight. I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready. Never could have said it before, but I was ready, ready to go at a moment's notice, even in the hours of that night as if I had been snatched away. I was ready. Maybe there's an unbeliever here today, and you know you're not ready. Jesus may come in the morning. Jesus may come at noon. Jesus may come in the evening. Are you ready? Let's read about something else today from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, please, at verse 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. Well, those of us who are believers certainly can and should console ourselves with the blessed truth that Jesus is coming and He's going to take His own to be with Him. And I can remember when it seemed like to me, at least as a young person, every conference, usually on a Sunday afternoon, someone would get it out. Jesus is coming. And it lived in our hearts and it affected our actions and our lives and our devotions and our longings, because we realized He's coming. He's going to come again for me. But let's read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, please, in verse 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Now, if I can just find it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, please, in verse 10. Are you ready? I'm not talking to unsaved people now. I'm talking to you. For we must all appear. The idea is to be made manifest. Our whole character right out in the open. Nothing left out. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Thank God, those of us who are believers will never be at the judgment of the great white throne. Only to be condemned to a place no one sane ever wanted to go. But this is still serious. And this is a real serious moment for the believer. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. That, are you ready? Everyone may receive. That's the idea, receiving for what you've earned. Your due. What's coming to you? What's owing to you? That everyone may receive the things done in the body. It's so important what we do with our bodies. That is the vehicle that God has given us to serve Him, to be used for Him. That everyone may receive the things done in the body according to that He hath done, whether it be good or good for nothing. Of no account, of no value. Can you see yourself there? Can I see myself before Christ to receive the things done in my body? Whether good, having value, having worth, it mattered. Or good for nothing. Serious words. When it says we're going to appear, that's much more than just being there. Everything we are present before Him, known of Him, obvious to Him. I don't know when it started, but Bonnie and I have been going through some restructuring in our life. And we've discovered as we've explored certain rooms in our dwelling and so on that there's stuff in there. And, well, when you look at it with mature eyes, you tend to see that some of it doesn't matter. That it isn't important to you anymore. And sometimes you even wonder when you ever did think it was important. And it ends up in my garage and I don't like it there. So I immediately move it to the Salvation Army. Those are the rooms of our house. What about the rooms of our life? Where we really live? This body, this vehicle that God has given us, this opportunity, this time, these privileges that we have. Are you ready to stand before God and have it all there? If I don't look at my garage, find a way to get it out of there. And I want to talk to you just for a few moments, and maybe it'll help us all to do things that matter. Do things that are going to last. Do things that have value. Do things that have worth. I know you've probably heard about the boy at the seashore, and he had noticed that after a big storm, a lot of those little sea turtles, they've been driven so far up on the dunes that they couldn't make their way back to the water, and without it, they would die. And that little guy went, and he was picking them up, and he was carrying them one by one down to the water. And a man who saw him do it, he said, "What are you doing?" And the boy told him, He says, you're wasting your time. Doesn't matter. And the boy looked at him with all the assurance. Maybe it was that same boy that was playing baseball. All the assurance of a boy who knows what he's talking about. And he says, mister, it matters for this one. Are we doing stuff that matters? The stuff that's in our hands. The things that we wear. The things that we acquire. The events of life. The stuff, the baggage, doesn't matter. When you stand in the presence of God, will it matter? Will it really count for something? Will it be to His glory? Will it bring Him honor? Will it bring a smile to His face as He beholds our life and sees what we were all about and knows every detail that ever drove our motives and did those things that we occupied ourselves with? Will He smile? Will He say, well done? Or will He say, didn't you understand? That's not what mattered. That's not what counts. That's not what has eternal value. Turn, please, to Matthew chapter 6. Maybe this would help. Matthew chapter 6, please. And let's read there in the book of Matthew's Gospel. And chapter 6 and verse 31. I think we could all take this one as good advice when it comes to standing before God. He says, be not therefore anxious. Take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? No, you don't have to think about that much at this conference because they're always bringing it to you. What shall we eat or what shall we drink? I went looking for a cup of coffee because my medicine sort of hits me hard at this time of the day and I need a little sometimes coffee does that, so I considered what shall we drink and wherewithal shall we be clothed. My goodness. Walk through the mall. Don't shop. And just look. And there's so many people trucking around bags full of stuff when they've already got a full closet already. And you really wonder about what's behind it. Is it just because we can? Or like we were hearing, have we ever considered what it would be like to sow what we have for an eternal harvest? I got sidetracked and I can't do that. Well, I can, but I don't want to. Verse 32, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek. Now, stop and think about that. The Lord Jesus is saying, ordinary people in this world, that's what they do. After all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows. Isn't that lovely? Somebody here may be hurting today. And someone else challenged by family. Or by disconnects in the family or troubles that have come into the assembly. Ah, dear brother, dear sister, your heavenly Father knows. And it matters to Him. Verse 33, but seek ye. In other words, the Savior is drawing a difference here. He's saying the Gentiles, the ordinary people of our day, the unbeliever, the ungodly, they seek these things, but, verse 33, seek ye. You seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. That means the idea that our conduct would be in line with the will of God. God's kingdom, not ours. Not our life and its domain and how much we control, but His. His kingdom. And His righteousness, that our will should be shaped, should be fashioned, should be molded by what the will of God speaks to us. He says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." They'll fall into their proper place. God first. If you're going to do things that matter, got to put God first. I urge you. I beseech you. I cry out to you today. Dear child of God, put Him first. It will matter. And those things that you do as you seek to put Him first, they will matter. And they will come. And they will bring a smile. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. We need to get our priorities straight. God first. So in the list of things that your life is composed of, where do you put God? I'm sure that many of us say he's really high in my list of priorities. Is he at the top? It's where he wants to be. That's when you really see things that matter, when God comes first. And we seem so much at times like those Gentiles the Lord Jesus was speaking of. And they're seeking their earthly comforts and the things that fill their bellies and make them feel well. And the restaurants are full today here. And the malls are, oh my. Is God first? Or when we stand in His presence, we have to say, I wanted to put you first. I wish I'd put Him first. Have we got our priorities straight? It matters. Acts chapter 9, please. Acts chapter 9. The book of Acts, chapter 9, and we're going to break into a story about Saul on the Damascus Road. Acts chapter 9, and let's read, please, at verse 6, just for sake of time, the beautiful story. It says, "And Saul, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" I wonder what kind of an answer he was expecting. I wonder sometimes what kind of an answer you're expecting when you might feel a certain amount of pressure to ask God, what do you want me to do? We heard a little bit about that. But here we see this man, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Notice what God says, please. Rise, go into the city. It shall be told thee what thou must do. That doesn't sound like a life plan, does it? Rise, go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou shalt do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, thank the Lord, hearing a voice but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. And they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days, 3 days, without sight, neither did eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. To him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias, please notice. And he said, here I am, Lord. Love it. What a beautiful example for Saul of Tarsus, who for the first time has that divine connection with his Lord. and who meets him there on that Damascus road, and he says, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And what's God's answer? Stand up. Go into the city. It shall be told thee what thou shalt do. Does that sound like big things? It did sound like something that he could do, though. Were we hearing about obedience this weekend? Just obeying his word? Just trusting him to speak into our lives? Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou shalt do. And then God uses a man that has already learned this lesson. And I love the preparation of this man of God, Ananias. The Lord knew he could use him. He knew that Ananias was waiting for a word from God. He knew that he was expecting God to speak to him. And when the Lord says, Ananias, he says, yes, I'm here. And the Lord gives him instructions, and he goes and he finds this man. This man who asked the question, the big question, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said, arise, go into the city, and wait 72 hours. No. And thou shalt be told what to do. You know, all God required of him was simple obedience. And blessed be God, Saul got the message. And he went, and there in the darkness, having not been able to see, he's praying. You know, sometimes God wants us to sit still and wait until God is willing to open up the path before us. And I can tell you, because I know this story, and you know it too, don't you, that the Lord did unfold more and more and more to the man who was willing just to obey. Just to get his direction from God, as simple as it was, went into the city, and there in the darkness, he's waiting. And God sent a man. A man that was a wonderful example to dear Saul. A man who himself had the same kind of thought. I'm here. I've been waiting. Are you willing to get your direction from him for the next few days? If the Lord allows us a few more days. I better quit. Things worth doing. Where do you find the strength to do those things? I think the book of Philippians actually teaches us that. Saul himself, who became Paul. Remember what he said? He says, those things that you've seen and heard in me, do. And did you notice the list that's there in Philippians chapter 4? Those things, all activities that would please God. Those things that really bring honor to him. Those things that matter. What does he say? Verse 13 of Philippians 4, he says, I can do all things through Christ who pours the strength into me. You can't find that strength in your own will or purpose. There's always some snag, some difficulty, some failure, somewhere, somehow. It's bound to be there. But if you're willing and waiting to do what he wants you to do, you'll not only know the doctrine, but you will find that the example of the Lord Jesus and the blessedness he's brought into the lives of so many others, and the things that you learn of him in the scriptures, will give you the courage. We were hearing that word. The courage to do things that matter. Because we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And we're going to receive the things done in our bodies. May the Lord help us that we might learn the lesson that Saul himself learned as Paul later on. I can do those things. I can be that kind of man that other men want to follow. I can bring glory to his name through Christ, who pours power, strength, and courage into us.